From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of August 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Well, the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is underway, if all goes well, meaning Chip Flory remembers to call and is in a place where that call can be made. We'll hear from the western leg of the tour today, and we'll get the latest on potential crop yields in the Dakotas and Nebraska. In agricultural news, governors along the Missouri River say flood control is the most important measure the U.S. Corps of Engineers should work to manage. And China is still buying commodities, and the figures suggest that nation's buying spree is still on pace to be a very big one. Hey, Dave Dickey will have those details in a bit. And in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. In the nearby soft red winter wheat futures, a bit higher. $7.35.5, the settlement price, up 4.75. December at 7.66, up 4.75. In March at $7.96.5, 7.5 higher. May futures, $8.08.5, up 7. July, 8.09.5, up 4.25. December contract, 8.41.25, up 2.5 cents. September corn today, 7.20.5, 9.5 higher. December at 7.34.5, up 9.25. In the March, 7.47, 9 cents higher. May futures, 7.50.5, up 8.5. July at 7.51.75, up 7.75. December, 6.55.5, up 8.75 for the day. September soybean futures, $13.76.5, up 16.75. November at 13.85.25, up 16.75. And January futures, $13.95.25, up 16.5. The March, $13.97.75, up 14.25. May, at $13.93.5, up 11.25. And November of next year, at $13.37.5, up 3 cents for the day. Bean meal at $3.62.70, up $8.60. September bean oil at $55.60, up 21. Mercantile exchange, October live cattle at $115.70, up 20. September feeders at $134.20, up 40. And lean hogs, October at $89 even, up 62.5 cents. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, September contract, $84.12 a barrel, up $1.86. Ethanol at $2.85.6, 2 2/10 higher. Natural gas, $3.89 1/10. That's down 4 9/10 of a cent. Gold futures at $1,888.70 an ounce, $39.80 higher. The settlement price for the day at the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,871, up just about 53 points. The dollar down, or rather up 0.06 at 74.08. And the CRB index on the afternoon at 331.77, up 2.3. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says this afternoon we'll see mostly sunny skies, a high near 83 degrees with light northwest winds. Tonight, mostly partly cloudy, that is, with a low around 60. Calm winds becoming south-southeast at around 6 miles an hour. And then on Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, a high 87. South winds at 6 to 14 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 18 tomorrow. And Tuesday night, a 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a low of 67. On Wednesday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high near 90. Wednesday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 a.m., partly cloudy, a low of 68. And on Thursday, sunny skies and 85 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear, a low of 62. Friday, sunny and 86. Friday night, clear and 65. Saturday, a high near 86 and sunny skies. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 65 degrees. And by the time we get to Sunday, we should see partly sunny skies and a high near 85 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, is on the phone line. Hello to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow evening in Macon County at the Extension Building, same place we were at last year at about this time, I think. Actually, earlier this year at about this time. Right next to the Farm Progress Show, underneath the wind turbines, and you and Jackie Vakes, Paul Cooley, Matt Bennett, and myself will all be there tomorrow evening to put a big Ag Outlook meeting on. What are we going to talk about, do you think?
Well, we'll probably go through how high is and how dry is, and maybe talk a little bit about the findings of the Pro Farmer crop tour. So there's plenty of things to talk about, not only on the agriculture side, but the outside market forces too. So I'm sure it's going to be a packed event with a lot of information, Todd.
Indeed. It's at 7 p.m. That's a big auditorium, so if you want to make your way over towards the Farm Progress Show tomorrow evening, we'll be there at 7 o'clock. As always, it's free, and it's one of our Will Ag Outlook meetings. Kurt, we thank you in advance for participating in that one. Producers want to know today, though, what you're seeing and hearing about the Midwest Crop Tour, and we'll have more on that in a bit, hopefully, when Chip Flory joins us. But what's your perspective as you've probably been following the tweets and the Twitters and Facebook, and AgWeb's done a heck of a job of getting some information out all day long.
Well, there's too many people on the tour, too many comments coming out. But the headlines for South Dakota, one leg of it put the corn yield 135.8 versus 148.9 last year, and the three-year average of 146.5. So South Dakota is struggling. Pod counts 1027. Versus 1309 last year and 1018, the three-year average. So bean pod counts are within that three-year average, below last year in South Dakota. Ohio, the two legs I saw was the northwest leg. They did six fields in there. The yield was 141.3 versus 164.6 last year, an average of 155.5. On the three-year average. That's down, but in the west central part, they found corn yield 175 versus 167.9 last year and 160.8 last year on the three-year average. Pod count's about the same type of variable there. Ohio crop mainly, it needs to have some growing degrees continue here for some time. It's virtually late there due to the late planting, Todd.
Now, in Commodity Week, we had quite a long discussion about the economy and what that might mean for the current price of corn and soybeans. And even with disregard of the economy, what a $7 and a $13 cash price meant for both of these crops. I think across the board, everybody thought that was a $3.50 corn sale and a good soybean sale too. Would you agree or not agree with those numbers?
Well, I think $7 plus corn and $13 plus beans. It's going to be tough to go a whole lot higher here. I think there's more speculative buying and more end user buying to come as we go down the road, especially on breaks as we go down the road. But when you start pushing these higher numbers and break evens, it's going to get kind of tough for the end user. You got to remember, a year ago we started the rally. A year ago in July, this time we were cracking up in the $4 level, and end users had an opportunity to price in some four and a half corn into their formulas, and here starting out at seven and possibly eight, it's going to be awful tough for these end users to make profit. And that's the last thing we want to do, see some of these hog or feeders in general, hog, beef, poultry, they've already been penciling in or pushing a little bit of wheat into some of these rations. And even on the ethanol side, we've seen wheat go into some of the formulas. So it's going to be awful tough to sell these higher prices here, or had these higher prices around for a while. I think we've lost some demand, and it could truly be the headline news of demand destruction if we go higher and stay up there, Todd.
Can I have you stay with me a bit? I see that Chip Lorre has now joined us on the line. Kurt, I'll get back to you in a moment. Let's get an update from Chip. He's the editor for Pro Farmer and joins us en route in the western leg of the Midwest Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Hi, Chip. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Todd. Thank you.
Well, tell me what you've seen and where you are today.
Well, right now we're going through Crop District 6 in Nebraska. That's the east central part of the state. We're going to be staying north of the Platte River today. We started off in South Dakota, and we actually went north out of Sioux Falls before we started heading south. And, you know, I'm running just one route, and we were running the easternmost route of in South Dakota. But we saw some good corn this morning. It was better than last year and better than the three-year average that we saw this year on our route. Soybeans, you know, it was kind of a mixed bag. The one thing that surprised me is we saw a couple of fields that they should have gotten after them on the aphid, and they just didn't get after it, and that's a little concerning. But as we got into Nebraska, the northeast part of Nebraska, kind of it's pretty good corn that we're seeing. We're going through what I would call the hill country in the eastern edge of Nebraska. And we've seen some really good corn, but we've seen, you know, it's kind of typical Nebraska stuff. It's hard to get away from seeing hailed corn. You see some nitrogen deficiency here and there as you're going through. But, boy, we've seen some pretty good dry land corn. You know, Todd, the last, 4 years now, this will make year number four where the dry land corn in Nebraska is just really, really good. And if you're going to have along for the ride, and it sure looks like it's coming along for the ride northeast Nebraska.
Chip, that last sentence where you were talking about the dryland corn being very good, we missed all of your detail. Can you try to repeat that for me? I know you're on a cell phone and maybe traveling at this point. All right. Well, that's kind of what I thought. We'll see. Chip, I'll tell you what. You keep checking with me periodically. Oh, looks like he may be gone, so we're just going to let that go. Chip Flory is with Pro Farmer, traveling along in Nebraska at this point with the Midwestern Pro Farmer Crop Tour, and on the phone line still with us in Bloomington and Normal, Illinois. From Bates Commodities is Kurt Kimmel. Thanks, Kurt, for staying with us while we got that short update from Chip of where they were. So obviously what we saw and talked about earlier with you was from a different leg of the Midwestern Pro Farmer Crop Tour in the western part, where they weren't so good, but Chip's seen a little bit better in the way of both corn and I think soybean crops, other than what you had seen. We'll catch all those numbers all week long with him, and we probably won't know, I suppose, until we get to Commodity Week this week and we get their adjusted figures, and we talk to Chip Lorre on that program on Commodity Week and get a better idea what Pro Farmer really comes up with. So it'll be fun to watch them, Kurt, I think, this week as they make their way. Are there any specific areas that you want to make sure, I think, this week as they make their way? Are there any specific areas that you want to make sure that you see them go through?
Yeah, it's going to be highly variable as they move along, just like the early results the Newswire had. The better findings will be overnight here when they do post their total day filings, because you've got a lot of different legs going on, and they'll average it up. And the main thing is continue to listen to what they see out in the field, such as pollination and a lot of interesting questions. I know as you move on into western Nebraska and even down in Kansas, a lot of that dry land was burnt up, according to the people that we visited with. So it's going to be highly variable, and how you average that all out is going to be interesting.
We'll find out. Any final word from you today before I let you go?
No, it just continues to be a dynamic market, and look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow evening down in Decatur.
Thank you so much, Chip. Thank you so much, Kurt. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Hey, and don't forget that he will be with us tomorrow evening in Decatur at the Macon County Extension Building. It's on the Farm Progress Show site for one of our Will Ag Outlook meetings. That starts at 7 o'clock. It's underneath the, well, next to or underneath the great big wind turbine there. Head for the Farm Progress Show site tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Look for the Extension Building. It's open and free to everybody. Not only Kurt, but Paul Cooley, Jackie Bakes, and Matt Bennett will be with us.
In agricultural news, six Missouri River Basin governors are demanding that flood control be the number one priority in managing the river. In a letter to the Secretary of the Army, John McHugh, the governors from Iowa, North Dakota, Missouri, Kansas, South Dakota, and Wyoming say that flood control should be the top priority in the basin. The governor's ability to find common ground could determine the future of families, agriculture, and other industries along the basin. Missouri River Basin states have disagreed about how to best manage the river to meet all needs: recreation, agriculture, endangered species, and transportation for years. China's commodity imports mostly rose in July as lower prices in preceding months, holiday demand, and restocking needs fueled buying last month. Finalized data released today by China's customs officials largely confirmed a preliminary sketch issued earlier this month. Soy oil imports rose 72% on the year to 259,364 metric tons, while palm oil imports were up 11%. There were signs that China may have found a new soy oil supplier in Brazil. Brazil's soy oil exports to China in the first 7 months reached 331,000 tons, up 14% on the year, and nearly double that of Argentina's export volume in the same period. Corn imports in July in China fell 11% on the year to 172,623 tons. All of the corn shipments were from the United States. Dow AgroSciences, a unit of chemical conglomerate Dow Chemical, is launching a genetically altered soybean seed. Dow submitted a regulatory package on Friday seeking governmental approval for a glyphosate-tolerant soybean that the company says would be the first-ever three-gene herbicide-tolerant soybean. Dow is dubbing the system Enlist and sees it as a replacement for Monsanto's Roundup Ready system. Pending regulatory approval, the soybean trait package is expected to be available by 2015. The DTN, Progressive Farmer Agribusiness Confidence Index, released today says that agribusiness officials are happy at the moment but less optimistic about their business's future than they were a year ago. Agribusiness owners surveyed gave their present situation an index of 110.4. Levels above 100 are seen as positive. The overall confidence index, which factors in feelings of current and future conditions, dipped to 97.8. That's the first time it has fallen below 100 since the index began in August of 2010. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find online at willag.org. Don't forget to check our calendar there for the upcoming Ag Outlook meetings, like tomorrow evening's at the Macon County Extension Office, 7 o'clock. Matt Bennett, Paul Cooley, Kurt Kimmel, and Jackie Bakes will be on hand in the Macon County Extension Office, right there next to the great big turbine on the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur, Illinois. Its address is actually 3351 North President Howard Brown Boulevard. But head for the Farm Progress Show, look for the wind turbine, and the Ovi Extension Building is right there. Tomorrow evening, it's open and free to the public at 7 o'clock. Matt Bennett, Paul Cooley, Kurt Kimmel, and Jackie Vakes will be on hand.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Chip Flory has tried to get hold of us again very quickly to give us an update of where he is in Nebraska and some of what's happening there. Chip, thanks for calling back. You had started, to tell us about the condition of that dry land crop. Why don't you give us a further report, please?
Yeah. Like I was trying to say, that the last four years now, the dry land crop in Nebraska has done really well. And for the Nebraska corn crop to be called a big corn crop, you know, we know that the irrigated yields are going to be there. So for it to be a big crop, that dryland crop has to come along for the ride. And it, in the northeast part of the state, Todd, it sure feels like this dryland crop is coming along for the ride, and we're looking at a pretty good dryland yield. At least as good as a year ago in the hills, and as good as we've seen over the last 3 years on average. So the big difference this year, I think, is that the acreage is a bit more in question. Of course, with the flooding along the Missouri, some of the drowned out spots, and there are some issues with that they've had to deal with because of too much water or poor timing of water, as far as the leaching of nitrogen and so on goes. So it's not a perfect crop, but boy, it's a whole lot better than the 70, 80 bushels that we've counted out here in dry land in years past.
So a good crop and as good as last year, maybe better. Did they have the kind of heat there, do you think, that we had here? And is the humidity as much of a problem as it might be here with those high nighttime temperatures? Usually it's not as humid in that part of the world.
Right. That's the one thing that might be holding this crop back just a little bit. And that, as you know, is a factor that's really hard to figure out until we run the combines, take a look at the yield monitor, and might as well be more safe and get the scale tickets to confirm it. But those high nighttime temps and the heat that was experienced out here, there was about 2 weeks where the crops were experiencing some heat stress out here in Nebraska. That's pretty typical for a Nebraska crop. But it's the high nighttime temperatures, just like you were saying, that is a factor that's pretty difficult to judge until we run the combines. Now, normally we would be looking at corn that is late dough, very early dent in this part of the world at this time of the year. It might be just a little bit further along in development than what I would like to see, because the development stage that we're looking at suggests to me that it might have been pushed just a little bit. And as you know, what that's basically doing is shorting up the time that it can accumulate dry matter, and that's dry matter is weight, and weight is yield.
Where will you be tomorrow, do you think, when you give us a call about this time?
Well, we're hopefully going to be over in back into eastern Nebraska again. Only we'll be in southeast Nebraska, making our way into Nebraska City.
Does that mean you'll be in irrigated corn country?
Yeah, we are getting very close to mostly irrigated corn country right now, and we will start out tomorrow in irrigated country and make our way back into the dryland stuff over on the eastern side of the state.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, Todd.
Talk to you tomorrow. That's Chip Flory. He is on the western leg of the Midwestern Pro Farmer Crop Tour and will join us again tomorrow afternoon. Brian Grady is on the eastern leg and joins Dave Dickey on the pre-opening market report at 8:50, of course, on our website, too, at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Greg Johnson of the Andersons joins us to talk about the cash grain market from right here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Todd.
Well, producers I know are watching the Midwestern Pro Farmer Crop Tour with great interest, but have they been calling you much about making new crop sales?
No. Someone jokingly remarked that we're actually buying back more contracts than what farmers are selling, and that's probably an exaggeration, but it does go to show you that farmers are not interested in selling at these prices. The yields just continue to disappoint, and if we don't get rain this week, the bean yields are going to start to drop as well. And so farmers just are not interested in selling at these prices. And in fact, if the outside markets, if the stock markets wouldn't have the gyrations that we've had, I think we would see much higher prices in corn and beans already. But because of the nervousness in the outside markets, I think it's kind of kept a lid on the corn and bean prices.
Do you think, you think it's kept a lid on the corn and bean prices. Can it pressure it lower eventually if the markets, the outside market begins really to fold?
Yeah, it very well could, because there's a lot of speculative demand in the market, and a lot of that demand, demand is demand, whether it's speculative or real. So if you get some of the speculators out of the market, if they're forced to, cash in their commodities positions to meet margin calls in other markets, it could. But by the same token, if things would happen to stabilize a little bit in those outside markets and we just trade yields, based on the yields, prices should be higher than where they are.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 740 for old crop, 722 for new crop. Cash beans are 1370 on the old crop, 1360 on the new crop. And wheat is 774.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons. Joins us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. This is the closing market report. Time now to check the agricultural weather forecast. Josh Darr is with us from his office high above the Chicago downtown area, the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I am very well. How's the view today?
Gorgeous. I'd say after the very hot conditions and humid this summer, may I say it's starting to feel a little bit like fall?
It is feeling a little. Last night felt really like fall.
I don't know if it's the shadows in the air, the sun getting a little lower, or just that we're getting more seasonal temperatures. But man, after the heat we've had this summer, it's I know here in Chicago it's a welcome, refreshing chill in the air. Well, not chill yet; it's a little aggressive. But
I got to tell you that it's a little disconcerting though, because I don't think it's late enough to feel like fall.
Yeah. I think it's only because we've had such a hot summer.
Maybe that's it.
The forecast here across the Midwest the next couple weeks, it's much of the same of what we've seen across August so far, with a reduced or below normal precip profile. We have several waves coming through the flow, but they're very light producers. The next one here comes across tomorrow night into Wednesday, convective system across Wisconsin, doesn't generate much precip. And then the next system comes through late in the weekend, and what's happening here is Hurricane Irene, northwest of Puerto Rico, is robbing some of the moisture from getting up through the Gulf into the Midwest to generate any more meaningful rains on these little waves as they come through the flow. So as a result, the dry bias we've seen much of the month of August continues, and obviously for beans, a dry August does not promote very high yields, and so that's probably the headline here, and that just more of the same with reduced precip versus normal.
So when you look out further than that, do you see anything maybe within 2.5 weeks?
Well, one thing you could say is that once we've been in these patterns, man, have we been locked in, and so if you had to provide an estimate on what rainfall potential looks like in the early portions of September, you'd probably go more of the same. It's that southwestern quadrant of the Midwest into Missouri, which has gotten a lot of rains. And you've gotten some decent rains far north. There's no reason to expect that that general theme would change in any significant way.
If the United States soybean crop comes up short or gets shorter, there will be more emphasis on the South American crop. How are they setting up for their planting season?
Pretty good. From a rainfall standpoint, there are no serious issues at this time across South America. Now, they're actually going through an unseasonally cold period right now. That means very little for the upcoming growing season. What we need to watch, as we always do for South America, is what happens in the tropical Pacific, and with La Nina starting to look like it may reemerge for another year, that's certainly going to put us on watch for some potential dryness issues as we walk through the season. But it doesn't look like a strong La Nina like last winter, so any correlation you can make is generally weaker. And so we have to see how that pans out, but generally speaking, no red flags for South America at this time.
And then check in on the Chinese corn crop as it makes its way towards maturation.
Yeah, things there, too, are looking quite good. A bit of a cool bias, cooler than what we're having here in the Midwest over the next week to 10 days. The rainfall is biased far south, so no issues in China as they start to think about harvest.
Thanks so much, Josh.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. That wraps up the program. You have a good afternoon, and be sure to visit our website at willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.